السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، شيخ سالم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
أهلا شيخنا، كيف حالك شيخ؟
اللهم لك الحمد، الحمد لله.
الحمد لله. طيب شيخ، we're ready when you are إن شاء الله.
I'm ready الحمد لله.
طيب let us begin إن شاء الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا، وبعد. brothers and sisters، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to our weekly Dars of Virtues of Islam. This is lesson number 5, the fifth lesson, with our Honorable Sheikh, Sheikh Salim Al-Amri. And I will pass the mic and the screen to the Sheikh, and the Sheikh can begin. فليتفضل مشكورا شيخنا شيخ سالم العمري.
جزاك الله خير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. In last session, we talked about what was the status of women before Islam. And in that session, we discussed that women, they have no issue in Islam. Islam has given women their rights from day one. So there's nothing there to complain about. As a matter of fact, a Muslim should be grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal, because what Islam has given her, women today in the West, they haven't got the rights that Allah Azza wa Jal and Islam has granted and given to women. So my dear sisters, study your Islam, know your deen, and know your enemies as well. And do not be fall a prey and victim. And you should not be fooled by the propaganda and the media, because what they are after and what they want from you is to take you out of your castle, out of your home, out of modesty. They want you to kiss goodbye to modesty and chastity. They want you to throw away your hijab, and that's what they call it, women emancipation or liberation. They want you to wear the miniskirt. They want you to display your body. They want to use this body as sex object. That's how they view you. That's how they look at you. Because that's what they did in their countries. They fooled the women. And the different slogans. Okay, you'll be a star, you'll be a model, you'll be this and that. And the poor girls, they don't know. They had an agenda. And what those have in mind is to use them to generate money for them. And later on, they throw her away. When she becomes old, or she starts to have wrinkles on her face, or that figure is not there anymore, goodbye. Don't you know some of those who are models for displaying their bodies, they insure their bodies. She has nice breasts, they insure, she insures that. Nice legs, she insures that through the insurance company. So that later on, she will get some money. So Islam, my dear sisters, has given you everything. And now listen attentively and open your heart and see what Islam talks about you and what Islam and your status in Islam. Imam Bukhari reported in his Sahih, حدثنا أبو اليمان أخبرنا شعيب عن الزهري قال حدثني عبد الله بن أبي بكر أن عروة بن الزبير أخبره أن عائشة زوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حدثته قالت جاءتني امرأة معها ابنتان تسألني فلم تجد عندي غير تمرة واحدة فأعطيتها فقسمتها بين ابنتيها ثم قامت فخرجت فدخل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فحدثته فقال من يلي من هذه البنات شيئا فأحسن إليهن كنا له سترا من النار. عائشة رضي الله عنها reported, a lady along with her two daughters came to me asking me for some charity, for some alms. But she found nothing with me except one date, which I gave to her, and she divided it between her two daughters. And this shows the motherly love. Parents, children, you cannot pay your debts towards your parents. You cannot be dutiful enough towards your parents, no matter what you did and what you do. Remember the man who carried his mother from Yemen on his back and started making tawaf around the Kaaba? And then he asked one of the companions, do you think I have paid her her rights, we break even? He told him, can she walk? He said, yes. He said, let her walk. All this, what you did, is not equal to one of the contractions of labor. Women, they know what I'm talking about. One of the contractions. So the mother divided this date between her daughters. And then she got up and went away. Then the Prophet ﷺ came in and I informed him about this story. He said, ﷺ, whoever is in charge of these two daughters or put to test by these daughters, that means Allah blessed you with daughters, and it is a test, children are a test, because you are accountable before Allah. So you have to take care of them. You have to bring them up Islamically. You have to discipline them. It is a test, whether they are boys or girls. So whoever is in charge of these daughters and treats them generously, kindly, then they will act as a shield for him from the hellfire. Shield. He didn't mention boys, he mentioned the girls. The girls. So if you have two daughters, or if you have three daughters, okay, as mentioned in another hadith, take care of them. Treat them nicely, generously, kindly. Bring them up Islamically. Protect them from all evils. Protect them from the media. Protect them from going astray. Protect them from being immoral. It is your duty as a father and mother, as parents. You have to protect your daughters. You don't provide internet to everyone in every room. Where they can watch dirty stuff. You can keep the internet in the sitting room. Anyone wants to have a research or something, he can go there. But to have connectivity in every room, no. Because this is your duty to protect your children. And of course, you have to build their iman because you will not be always there. So they should have, so you instill in their hearts the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah sees you wherever you are. But to give every child his own mobile phone with internet connection, and this child keeps browsing and seeing all this dirty stuff, you are responsible before Allah. Before Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourself and your family from the fire, whose fuel men are rocks. So my dear parents, play your role and take care of your children. A child, if you take care of him or her from the beginning, you can mold the child the way you like. And you are responsible before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will question every caretaker because every one of us is a shepherd. And Allah is going to question him, Ahafidha am dayya? Did you protect your subjects? Did you protect your family members or you lost them? So, Al-mar'atu ra'iya fi bayti zawjiha. A woman is caretaker and the shepherd in her house, and the same thing the husband. So whoever is in charge of these daughters treats them generously, educate them Islamically, getting them married when they reach the age of marriage. So fulfill your obligations towards them. Then they will act as a shield for him from the hellfire. Shield. So those whom Allah blessed with two daughters or three, alhamdulillah, they are lucky. So they need to take care of their daughters. Also, Imam Muslim reported that the hadith I mentioned previous, this one is in Bukhari, and the coming hadith in Sahih Muslim. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الأيم أحق بنفسها من وليها والبكر تستأذن في نفسها وإذنها صماتها. في رواية قال الثيب أحق بنفسها من وليها والبكر تستأمر وإذنها سكوتها. وفي رواية قال الثيب أحق بنفسها من وليها والبكر يستأذنها أبوها في نفسها وإذنها صماتها. رواه مسلم. The meaning, Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما reported, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying, a woman without a husband, that means either she's a divorcee or a widow. A woman without a husband has more right to her person, that means her life, than her guardian. And a virgin's permission must be asked about herself, her permission being her silence. So, a woman who has been married before, and now she's not married, and someone proposed, then she has to express, and she has to verbalize her willingness and her consent. Whereas the one who's virgin, Bikr, he didn't have experience, so naturally she will feel shy and she will blush. So she will keep quiet. So that is her consent, that's her approval. Nowadays, the girls, they don't keep quiet. They talk, yes, I want him, I love him. What happened to the Muslim girls? Where is the haya? Where is it? Gone, flown through the window. Because of the media, because of what they watch, because of what they hear, the haya has gone. Prophet, when they described him, they say he's more bashful than a virgin girl, than a virgin. أشد حياء من البكر في خدرها. The bashfulness and the shyness and the haya of the Prophet is more than the haya of a girl who's confined and who's staying at home. In another narration, he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a woman has been previously married, has more right to her person. No one can force her. No one can say anything. This is her life. Has more right to her person than her guardian. And a virgin must be consulted. Her permission consisting in her saying nothing. That means she keeps quiet. In another narration, he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a woman who has been previously married has more right to her person than her guardian. And the virgin's father must ask her permission about herself, her permission being her silence. So all these narrations, authentic and Sahih Muslim, they give the woman her right. There is no forced marriage in Islam. If it is practiced in some communities, that is wrong. And that's not Islamic. The problem, we mix things. We mix the culture with what Islam teaches, and then we accuse Islam. When in the first place, those Muslims, what they practice is not Islamic at all and has no connection with Islam. No connection. So there's no forced marriage in Islam. If a father forced his daughter to marry her cousin, as it's practiced in many communities, that the communities that are tribal, you have to marry your cousin, and the poor girl cannot do anything. That marriage can be canceled Islamically, because no one has the right to force his daughter. Because at the time of the Prophet, a woman came and she said, "Oh, Prophet of Allah, my father forced me to marry a man I don't like." So the Prophet gave her two options: either to continue living with this man or to nullify and cancel it, the marriage. She said, "I have accepted this marriage, but I want fathers and the parents to know that they have no right to force their own daughters to marry someone they don't want to marry." So Islam has given women their rights. No one can force you. There's nothing called forced marriage in Islam. Nothing like that. So here you can see three narrations. If a woman was married before, she has to express her consent verbally. We have to hear it. "Yes, I want this man. No, I don't want." But if she's a virgin, her silence will be her consent. If she doesn't want the virgin, she doesn't want this man, it's easy to say no. Very simple, no. But to say yes, it is a bit, she feels a bit reluctant because of her haya. So nothing there. You can say Islam is unfair to women. Islam has given women everything. But because of their ignorance and they don't know their Islam, they want tahrur, liberation. We don't know what they mean by that. Women liberation, what do you mean? You want them to go to nightclubs, bars, boyfriend, girlfriend, dating, to go out freely, no protection, travel without a mahram, exposing herself to danger. What do you mean by liberation? Islam has given women their rights, protected them. And if you study Islam deeply, you'll appreciate. When Islam tells you to cover your hair, does he limit your freedom? Actually, he protects you from the lustful looks of men. Wow. That's what men, they want to watch. But if you are covered, dressed decently, they don't see anything. So you deprive them of enjoying themselves. And you show that beauty only to your husband. So when Islam tells you cover yourself and put the hijab or the niqab, he protects you. And he protects your husband. Because there are many women outside there more beautiful than you. So if they are not wearing hijab, your husband will look at them. And he will have the contrast and the comparison between what he has at home, his wife, and what he sees on the street. So the marital life will be affected. When you are in front of him, sitting with him, chatting with him, he's comparing you with the woman he has seen. And he feels pity for himself. Why I married this? Why I married her? The same thing a woman. If he looks at the men outside, oh, he's more handsome than my husband. And that's why Allah told both men and women, lower your gaze, don't look at the opposite sex, so that you will have peace of mind. So all the Islamic teachings, my dear brothers and sisters, are for our own benefit, our own. Allah is not in need of us. These things, we are the ones who's going to reap the benefit. So wake up and say, Alhamdulillah, I am a Muslimah. And thank Allah for what he has given you and all this protection for you. So when Islam tells you don't travel without a mahram, it is for your own sake to protect you from the hungry wolves that are roaming around. Because if you have mahram, you have a lion stands next to you. No man will dare to look at you. Because this mahram, he's ready to die. To die. To defend you. He's your bodyguard. Don't you see those celebrities? They have bodyguards. Bodyguards to protect them. Your mahram is your bodyguard. He's ready there to die to protect you. And you don't want this protection? You want to be attacked? To be harassed? Yesterday, I saw a study. I will not mention the country in Europe, European country. Every 10 women, 5 of them are sexually harassed. Out of 10, each 5 are harassed. And then those who, they don't feel okay, shame of themselves. They want to teach us how to treat our women. Come on, guys. Charity begins at home. Fix your homes. Amend your community. See your problems. How come you dare to talk and to teach the Muslim how to treat the women? Don't you see what is happening in your country? Subhanallah. So Islam protected you, my dear sister, from cradle till the grave, throughout your life, you're protected. So when Islam tells you don't travel without a mahram, it's a protection for you. لا يحل لامرأة أن تسافر إلا مع ذي محرم. It's unlawful. It's totally prohibited for a woman to travel without a mahram. If someone to say, you know what? In the past, yes, but today, airplanes, everything is safe. Okay. She is delivered to the airport and then she will be received by her family on the other side. And what is happening in the air? You don't know. You don't know. You don't know the moment you sit and there's a woman next to you. And you look at her, hi. And you smile, hi. Why hi? Why don't you mind your own business? What do you want? You want to start a conversation with her. Why? Why? What do you want? And I'll tell you this story that our Sheikh Albani, rahimullah, mentioned. It happened in Syria, and it was a domestic flight, not international. National one, domestic within the country. A woman, of course, she was not wearing hijab and things, traveling, okay, without a mahram. So the air hostess saw her, and the air hostess is a wicked woman, immoral one. She informed the pilot because they had worked together. Dirty staff. She told him there's a woman. Wow. So beautiful. So the pilot said, talk to her. Okay. Chat with her. Soften her up. And she did. And that woman happened to be also not decent. So what to do? Domestic flight. Ladies and gentlemen, the pilot is announcing, we have a technical fault, technical problem. Unfortunately, we have to change the course of the flight and we have to land in this city. And he did. So in order to take that woman and commit the haram with her, if this woman had her husband or a mahram with her, even if she is a dirty woman, no chance. There's a guard standing there. So this is what we see. You see when you are traveling. The moment just, okay, you buckle your seat, you look to your right. Or you left and you smile and you want to start chatting. And if she has her, he's married and has a child, what is the bait, what is the way to soften the mother? Is to talk to the child. Oh, cute baby. You talk to the child and you want the mother. Oh, your child is so cute. He looks like his mother. He's so handsome. Wow. And women, they like these things and they just thaw like butter. They melt. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching us in this beautiful hadith that a woman has the right to accept her husband to be. No one can force her. And if she was married before, she has to express it explicitly. She has to verbalize and say yes or no. Whereas if she's a virgin, she can just keep quiet, and that is her consent. In the hadith Al-Ayyim, so this is for your own benefit, those who are interested to build their vocabularies. Al-Ayyim in Arabic is a bachelor or spinster. Anyone who's bachelor or spinster is called Ayyim, Ayyim. Also, it can mean a widow or widower. Another beautiful hadith, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إن الرجل إذا سقى امرأته من الماء أجر. رأيه أحمد وصححه الشيخ شعيب الأرناؤوط وحسنه الألباني في صحيح الترهيب والترغيب حديث 1963. This hadith is reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad and authenticated by Sheikh Shu'aib al-Arnaut, who checked the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and printed now the Musnad of Imam Ahmad in a massive encyclopedia. Also, Sheikh Albani authenticated it in the authentic series of Ahadith in Sahih al-Tarhib wa al-Tarhib, Hadith number 1963. The meaning of the Hadith, in Rajula, إذا سقى امرأته من الماء أجر. Verily, when a man fetches water and give it to his wife, or hand over the glass of water for his wife, will be rewarded. Okay, your wife is thirsty. She's thirsty. So you went to the fridge and brought the water for her. Or the water is next to you and she wants water, so you took the jug and you poured in the glass for her and handed it over to her. You will be rewarded. See how Islam treats women? You give her the water. She's thirsty. Go and bring the water for her. You do that, you will be rewarded. As you know in the other hadith, even giving a morsel of food and put it in the place, in the mouth of your wife, you will be rewarded for that. You are eating together. They say, sweetheart, open your mouth. And you give her a morsel of food. You feed her with your own hand to express and show your love for her. This is what Islam teaches us. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, I was eating with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when we eat together, if I eat piece of meat on the bone, he takes that piece of meat, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he eats from the same place I placed my mouth. Where my lips were, he eats from that place. To teach us what? To teach husbands and wives how they should treat each other. That mutual love and respect is what Islam teaches us. So you give water to your wife. You fetch water for her. you help her, you'll be rewarded. You put that morsel of food in her mouth, it is hasana, sadaqa, charity for you, charity. You fulfill your biological needs, it is charity. You satisfy her during intimacy, and you have no right to leave her until she is satisfied. That is her right. Islam has taught us everything, my dear brothers and sisters. وعن أبي شريح خويلد بن عمرو الخزاعي رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إني أحرج حق الضعيفين اليتيم والمرأة. الله أكبر. اللهم لك الحمد. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain on this beautiful deen till we meet him and he is pleased with all of us. Ameen. See what the Prophet is saying. Allahumma inni uharriju haqq al-da'ifayn al-yateem wal-mar'a. Rawahu al-Nisa'i bi isnadin hasan. Abu Shuraih خويلد ابن عمرو الخزاعي رضي الله عنه said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, O Allah, I declare inviolable the rights of two weak ones, the orphans and women. O Allah, I declare inviolable something as if it is sacred, the rights of women, the rights of the two weak ones, the orphans and women. حق الضعيفين. Yes, described as weak. The orphans, they are weak. So the one who is in charge of looking after them has to fear Allah. And he should not devour and eat up their property, the guardian, the one who is in charge. And women, they are weak. So that's why Allah has given them multiple layers of protection. So here, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, O Allah, inni uharriju haqq al-da'ifayn. O Muslims, be aware. Do not deprive those two their rights, the orphans and women. Give them their rights. Otherwise, a day will come and you will be standing before Allah. And there, you will be held accountable. Because you wronged your women, you oppressed them, or the orphans, or did not give the orphans their rights, or women their rights. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. And listen what to the last minute, The Prophet ﷺ was reminding the Muslims about the rights of women. Last minute. Narrated Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. He said, the last words which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke were, these words they were, As-salatu as-salah, wa ma malakat aymanukum. Reminding the Muslims, before his soul joined the upper assembly, before he breathed his last, As-salatu as-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. Your prayers, prayer, prayer, salatu salah, which means take care of your prayers. And fear Allah about those whom your right hand possess, whether your wives or your slave girls. Give them their rights. Fear Allah. Fear Allah Azza wa Jal regarding them. Your prayers, maintain your prayers, never miss your salah. And then your woman. Take care of them. Give them their rights. Another hadith which shows us the role model, the best husband in the world. The best husband in the world is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You never find a husband who can come near to the standard set by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No one. No one. The way he treats his wives. Listen to this hadith reported by Aisha radiallahu anha in Bukhari. So our role model, my dear brothers and sisters, is our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's the role model. Anyone else? No. Our role model is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we should try to imitate and emulate and follow him. Because he is the best one. He's the one who understood the Quran correctly. For the Quran came down upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An al-Aswad qal, sa'altu Aisha radiallahu anha. Ma kana al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yasna'u fi ahlihi? Qalit. Kana fi mihnati ahlihi. فإذا حضرت الصلاة قام إلى الصلاة. رواه البخاري. Narrated al-Aswad. I asked Aisha رضي الله عنها, what did the Prophet ﷺ used to do at home? At home. Outside we see him. At home. What he used to do? He replied, he used to keep himself busy serving his family. Serving his family. Helping them in the kitchen. With the daily chores of the house. This is the Prophet ﷺ. And when it was time for the prayer, he would get up for prayer. Listen to this, my dear brothers. This is your role model. He used to help his family, his wives. And you, when you enter, you are sitting on the couch, crossing your legs, moving from one channel to another, and you are shouting, the food. I'm starving. And the poor girl is running around, carrying her baby. The baby is crying. And you are selfish. And you see what she's going through. And you don't want to say to take the baby. And you want her to do everything when she has only a pair of hands. This is our problem. Not Islam, the problem with the Muslims. We are far away from the Islamic teachings. Instead of telling her, I'll take the baby. You take care of the rest. Do whatever you are doing. She's cooking and the baby is crying. Take the child. Do you do that? Or you think you are king? You just dictate. And you want everything. And if there's a small thing, a small mistake happened, you flare up. Fear Allah, my dear brothers. Fear Allah. I ask each one of you, my dear brothers, to go and read and download the book. It is free. Ishratun Nisa by Imam Nasa'i. The way you treat your women. All the hadith of the Prophet. Learn from your Prophet. And you will have successful marital life. So here the Prophet is helping his wives, helping them with the daily chores, what they do at home. Okay, I will do the washing. I will wash the dishes. I'll do the hoovering. That will not affect your manhood if you understand the meaning of manhood. Life is like that. Life is give and take. So here, this is the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is our role model. This is our role model. And when you read his life and how he treated his wives, unbelievable. Even when he got upset with them. One day he got upset with one of them. But he would not be unfair to them. And it was Hadjay, that wife of the Prophet. And the Prophet was upset. So, this wife of the Prophet, one of them, I forgot the name now, she went to Aisha. She said, Aisha, the Prophet is angry with me. If you make him pleased with me, happy, I will reward you. She said, what are you going to do? What you'll give me, I will reward you. I will give you my day. Today it is my day. I'll give it to you. I will give it to you, but make him happy, not angry with me. Aisha, she said, I went, I put on new dress, wear perfume, and I went to the Prophet. You know what the Prophet did? He said, Aisha, stay away. Don't come to me. This is not your day. Aisha smiled. He said, this is a rizq from Allah. Allah has given it to me. This is provision from Allah that I'll have extra day. And she explained to him and he smiled. And he forgot his wife. So he told her, though he was upset, don't come. This is not your life. This is not your day. See, the Prophet ﷺ, he got upset with his wives, angry with them. And he told them, because all of them, they wanted food, they want maintenance, and he didn't have. He didn't have. So he told them, I will leave you for 1 month. 1 month, the Prophet ﷺ stayed in the masjid. There is a room, he's sleeping there. And the rumors went all over Medina. The Prophet divorced his wife. The Prophet divorced his wife. Umar radiallahu anhu doesn't live next to the masjid. He's somewhere in the Awali in Medina. So when he heard about the rumor, he came. And he went to the room of his daughter Hafsa, found her crying. He told her, the Prophet divorced you? She said, I don't know. He told her, how many times I warned you not to listen to Aisha? And don't think that you are equal to Aisha, because Hafsa and Aisha, they were always together. Thinking together, planning together. How many times I wound you? You are not like Aisha. Aisha is the most beloved woman to the Prophet. And your father is not like her father. Because Abu Bakr is the most beloved one, man to the Prophet. Then he left her. And he went, said Umar, to see the Prophet. Bilal was at the door. He didn't allow her. He told him, seek permission. Tell the Prophet, I want to see him. Bilal came. Go again, till he got the permission. See the smartness of Sayyidina Umar. Now, he wants to talk to the Prophet. But he has, because the atmosphere is so tense, so he has to break the ice. And this shows the intelligence of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. So when he entered, he said, O Prophet of Allah, women, okay, our women, when we were in Mecca, they would not become rebellious. They would be obedient, and they were obedient. But when they came to Medina, they became different. Because they learned from the women of the Ansar. The Ansar are soft-hearted people. Yemenites, remember the Yemenites? Their hearts are so soft. So the women, they argue with them and they sometimes they become wild, angry. So he said, when we were in Mecca, women, they would not argue with us. But when we came to Medina, they learned from the women of the Ansar, and they are now arguing with us. The Prophet ﷺ smiled. He smiled. Smiled about what Sayyidina Umar said. So Sayyidina Umar, then he sat down. Remember, he came for one thing only, to find out whether the Prophet ﷺ divorced his wife or not. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, atallaqta nisa'ak, oh Allah's Messenger, did you divorce your woman? He said, no. No. Sayyidina Umar decided to verify the news, the rumor, whether it is true or not. He said, no, I didn't divorce my wife. So the Umar came, radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Umar, telling, shouting, the Prophet did not divorce his wife. He didn't divorce his wife. After 29 days, the Prophet ﷺ came out from his room and went to his house. And the first one he decided to visit, Aisha. Aisha said, listen to this. I was counting the days and the nights on my fingers. And now the Prophet ﷺ wanted to enter. See how she received him. Allah is teaching us, my dear brothers and sisters, through the life of the Prophet ﷺ. She told, O Prophet of Allah, you said 1 month, and today only the 29th. The Prophet ﷺ smiled, said, Aisha, the month can be 29 days and can be 30 days. Let us have peace. This is how the Prophet ﷺ replied. So he's teaching us. Imagine now you got upset with your wife and you said you will never see my face for 1 month, and came after 29 days. And she told you exactly what Aisha said to the Prophet. Tell me, what will happen? What will be your reaction? What will be your reaction? One day, one of the wives of the Prophet, maybe Sophia, she knows how to cook. She sent a dish to the Prophet on the day of Aisha. On the day of Aisha. Because the day of Aisha is known. All the Sahaba, if anyone wants to give a gift to the Prophet, he gives it on the day of Aisha. When Aisha, the Prophet ﷺ, with Aisha. So the life of the Prophet ﷺ is so open, transparent. They know. Oh, today he's with Aisha. Guess what happened? Sayyidina Aisha, our mother Aisha, felt jealous. You sent food to him on my day. She took a stone and hit the dish, the bowl, and broke it, and the food fell on the ground, on the floor. The Prophet, what did he do? He collected the food and put it in a plate. Okay, collected the food and gave it to the Sahaba. And he said, kulu, kulu, gharat ummukum, eat. Your mother became jealous. That's it. Your mother felt jealous. And he told Aisha, you broke the utensil of your sister. Send her one which is intact instead of this one that you broke. That's it, nothing else. Imagine this happens to you. How would you react? So this is our Islam, my dear brothers and sisters. And we'll pause at this point and we'll continue, inshallah, in the coming sessions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults, mistakes, and ignorance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our knowledge in the deen. Ameen. May Allah grant us the beneficial knowledge and the righteous amal. Ameen. May Allah keep us remain steadfast in this beautiful deen till we meet Allah and He is pleased with all of us. Ameen. May Allah guide our ummah to the haqq. May Allah unite our hearts in the haqq. Ameen. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience, for your dedication, and for your attendance. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakum Allahu khayra. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallahu khair, Sheikh Salim. Brothers and sisters, inshallah, we will now start the question and answers time. Please send in your questions fast so we address them in this session. We will start with the first question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. What is the difference between ikhlas and niyyah?
Okay. Niyyah is the intention, which is something mental. You intend to do something. That is the meaning of niyyah. So it's the mental willingness and the mental preparation for something, to do something. That's the meaning of niyyah. Ikhlas is that thing that I intend to do, I do it purely and exclusively for the sake of Allah. So the intention is connected to the action itself. Is this action, this act, is it pure for Allah's sake or not? Or the motive. What is the motive? Why am I doing this thing? Is it I'm doing it for the sake of Allah? So that is my ikhlas. If it is purely for the sake of Allah, that is ikhlas. And the intention is that you want to do something. You decided to do something, so you intend to do something. That is the intention. And this intention has to be pure. The motive has to be pure, that you are going to do something for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal and Allah only. Is this clear to the questioner?
Yes, inshallah, Sheikh, that is clear. Brothers and sisters, if you have any more questions, please send them in fast, inshallah. Otherwise, we will end this session. JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. I think the lesson was clear today. There's not many questions coming in. We had that one question. If you'd like to conclude, inshallah, JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. Allah yahfazak.
Barakallahu feekum, JazakAllah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. May Allah protect you, preserve you, and protect your family. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate your status in this world and the one to come. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant shifa to all those who are sick. Ameen. And may Allah keep us remain steadfast in this beautiful deen till we meet Him and He is pleased with all of us. Ameen. And until, inshallah, we meet in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and Allah's protection. Fi hifdhillahi wa ri'ayatihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.